to the Eric Metaxas Show. There's a time for kidding around and a time to be serious. This is not one of them.
Broadcasting coast to coast, whatever that means. This is the Eric Metaxas Show with your host, Eric Metaxas.
Well, well, well. Hello there. Happy Monday. Chris Himes, happy Monday to you.
Hello.
Hey, how's that couch working out?
It's fine. It's, in a way, it reminds me of Christmas when I sit on it. It was such a gift.
People are following the saga. Yeah. That Suzanne and I had this couch with a bad smell. We dumped it on our friends, the Himeses. And we, no, it's such a it's a beautiful couch. Yeah. And we've been joking around about that. And then the chair, which is the little brother to the couch. You got the chair.
Yeah.
Do you believe that rugs can talk?
Like a magic carpet?
Well, all I'm telling you is the other day there's a rolled up a carpet. It's like a sisal or whatever they call it. And Suzanne and I were just sitting quietly. And I heard it talk, and I realized that the rug, is kind of attached.
Oh no!
It was attached to the chair.
Yeah.
And to the couch.
Yeah.
So either we need to get those back from you, or maybe Suzanne and I said maybe this is God's way of saying that we should give you guys this carpet also. I don't know. I just I don't know. This is utterly irrelevant to anything that my listeners are interested in right now. So why don't we talk about the most important thing of all? We are raising money for Christian Solidarity International. Now, by the way, in this hour, we're talking to Joel Rosenberg. Some people know him. He's an amazing author. Yeah. And we're talking about Israel and the Middle East. He knows more about this stuff than anybody. So it's extraordinary. And I hope we can get him for the whole day, for 2 hours today. But before that, we have an update. We've raised $45,000 for Christian Solidarity International. We've been talking about this for a couple of weeks here. We are doing a Christmas campaign
For CSI.
With CSI, Christian Solidarity International, and they are in they're working in Iraq and in Syria. And they're helping Christians who are being persecuted. This is something that's not in the news very much, but the Christians are being persecuted terribly there. And we always say, what can I do?
Yeah, and I feel like this year was, you know, before Donald Trump came onto the scene, I do feel like it was the year of the refugee.
Oh,
in terms of like—
It's horrible.
You know, everybody was concerned, which is the good news, but not everybody could agree on kind of what to do about it. And this is one way that you can work with, you know, a vetted agency that is doing God's work over there.
Right. And we can give you things if you give.
Well, that's true.
We can give you things.
In the spirit of the rug and the couch, you know.
Yeah, just that generous spirit. But seriously, we have created these magnificent little cigarette lighters. They're also, you can use them to light anything, not just cigarettes.
Yeah.
So if you're a smoker, this works. If you're a non-smoker, it can work as well.
Now, the thing that we've learned in this process is the federal government, which does good things at times, has set up some very strict guidelines on how to, you know, receive these items. So you have to – so we ordered them and they're on their way. But they're being shipped in a car instead of a plane, you know, a truck. And
Look, folks, these are actual lighters, but here's the beauty of it. They're also bottle openers.
Yeah, that's true.
So if you ever have a bottle that needs opening, don't wait long because this thing's going to arrive in the mail, and it says the Eric Metaxas Show on it.
Right.
So it's very impressive, and we're mailing those to anybody who gives at the $156 level.
Yeah.
If you give more, you get several lighters. You get all kinds of stuff. We're not going to get into it, but we have gotten a number of people that have signed up at the $1,000 level.
Yeah.
Now, and I want to say, which I've said many times, it doesn't matter what you give because there are plenty of people that there's no way they can give $156. But I want to encourage everybody to give something. This is Christmas. There are people around the world suffering for their faith. I mean, I hate to get like heavy, but the point is, we are so blessed in this country. The idea that we could give a few dollars to somebody who, by the way, this is not going to be given to some bureaucracy. Like if you give it to the federal government, you know, they'll take 20% of it to use, you know, and then the rest goes to the bureaucracy.
Right.
This is a very lean organization. It's why we work with them, Christian Solidarity International. And we had Kevin McCullough on. He's He's worked with them for a number of years. He knows about them. I think we need to rerun that sometime this week because he gives you the inside view of this ministry and what they're able to do. I think that with all the suffering that's going on in the Middle East, we do need to do something. And so I want to guilt trip my audience into thinking that there's something you can do. When you can do something, I say it's incumbent on you to do that something. This is very serious, people suffering for their faith. So yeah. If you can do that, that would be great. If you give it the $156 level, that's a whole package that CSI sends.
Yeah, survival kit.
It's a survival kit, and in it there's like blankets, there's a coat, there's a space heater. They do not have heat. Can you imagine something that basic? There's all kinds of stuff. There's medical supplies, first aid kit, just tons of stuff that they need, even fish hooks. I was impressed by the idea that there's fish hooks.
Yeah.
That they can, I mean, my gosh. So I want to encourage you to give, you go to metaxastalk.com mm-hmm. and you can give that way, or you can dial the phone number. Mm-hmm. And if you want to dial the phone number, I'm going to give that out in a second. But here it is. The phone number is 888-342-1010. That's 888-342-1010. What is happening over there, the idea that, we have located this organization that we believe in and that we've worked with before that can help these people, it's just important because I know that there are people all over this country. You don't need to be a Christian to care about people who are suffering for the Christian faith. You just need to be somebody with compassion. So again, the phone number is 888-342-1010. If you give it the $156 level, that they can get blankets, mattresses, coats, food, hygiene kits, heaters, all kinds of cooking items, mosquito netting, water containers, all the stuff that they need to survive in a refugee situation. So I just want to encourage that again. If you give it the $156 level, you get a very high-quality lighter, bottle opener.
It's a combo.
And also, you get two signed book plates. That's if you want to give a Christmas gift to somebody, a signed book by Eric Metaxas, you get the book plate. They're beautiful little book plates, and you put it in any book you want. And if you give more, you get more. Now, I know folks are not giving to get, but we want to bless you. We want to say thank you. So this is our way of saying thank you. If you give at a higher level, you get an Uncle Muggsy book, which are gorgeous. These are like coffee table heirloom quality
really
books. Yeah, you'll see when you get one. Or you can just order it from timraglin.com. Actually, I should say that.
Yeah.
If you go to timraglin.com for $25, you can order a Muggsy book. You don't have to give it the $500 level. But I'm just saying if you give it the $500 level, you get a Muggsy book. But if you just want to get one, it's timraglin.com. They're gorgeous. They're just absolutely really, really beautiful books. But we've had a number of people that have given at the $1,000 level. That means they're going to come in here to the studio, hang out with us, so they get all these gifts.
Tomorrow, actually.
And when they come, we can give them Eric Metaxas Show mugs.
Yeah, we can give them extra swag.
Oh, we forgot. Chris,
if
you folks, you know that if you go to the website, you can purchase mugs and T-shirts, Eric Metaxas Show mugs.
Right.
Okay, but right now, it's buy one, get the second one half off.
Yeah.
So there's
we tweeted out this morning. So
it's a sale.
You can go on the website or check out our Twitter.
Go to metaxastalk.com. So you can purchase some of these things and then give what you want. But I really just want to lean on my listeners that they're people suffering. And if you have the ability to give anything, it really doesn't matter if it's $10. I've said this. A number of people, God bless you, have given $10.
We've been seeing the reports as they come in, and we do have some donors that have been giving at lower levels, which is great.
Please, any $25. Can you imagine how far this can go with the folks that are suffering on the other side of the Atlantic and in the Middle East? This is just it's important. So anyway, folks, we're going to be right back. Joel Rosenberg is a genius, and he's written a number of hugely best-selling books. Absolutely fascinating. We're going to ask him questions about what's going on in the Middle East right now. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. Stick around.
Children laughing, people passing, meeting smile after smile, and on every street corner you
thank you. is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. And since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. Man, it doesn't show signs of stopping, and I brought me some corn for popping. The lights are turned way down low. Let it snow, let it snow.
Hey, it's the Eric Metaxas Show. That, folks, you know who that is. That is Dean Martin. And as you also know, we have had Dean Martin's daughter, Dina Martin, on this program. We did 2 hours with her. She is just fantastic. But every time I hear him, I just get a smile on my face. Dean Martin, one of the greats. We are talking, as promised, this hour to Joel Rosenberg, my friend Joel Rosenberg, who is a New York Times bestselling author of 11 novels and 5 non-novels, nonfiction books. And I think he may be right here in the studio someplace. Joel, are you here?
Yeah, Eric, good to be with you finally.
You scared
here in
me.
New York,
there you were right in front of the microphone. It's incredible. It's a weird thing because we know each other, and I've seen you, you know, we've had meals together, but when you did the program the last time or last couple times, it was over the phone. So when you walked in, I thought, hey, you've not been here before. So welcome to the studio. Welcome to the program.
It's great to be back in New York City and great to be actually here with you.
And let's remind our listeners, where do you live?
Well, we live in Israel now.
What? No, I knew that. Go ahead. But it's an amazing thing.
It is. My wife and 4 sons and I, we moved almost 2.5 years ago from Washington, D.C.
We had dinner like just as you were moving. And you're telling me that's 2.5 years ago?
That's pretty crazy.
That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, we moved during a rocket war. There were thousands of missiles, rockets landing on our new country. We're dual citizens, U.S. and Israeli,
right?
Which means we get to vote twice.
Actually, you're tri-citizens because you're also members of the heavenly kingdom.
That is true. Because that's our most important citizenship.
Because I'm a dual citizen. I'm a member. You know, I'm an American citizen, and I'm a pilgrim here, sojourning to my other home.
Amen.
In the sky. But seriously, you are an American citizen and an Israeli citizen. And now you are by background Jewish. Rosenberg obviously is slightly Jewish, mostly Irish.
A smidge.
But you, what made you decide to move back to Israel?
Well, it's back in the sense that, you know, our forefathers.
Well, that's what I mean. Back to the home country.
2,000 years ago.
Yeah.
But yeah, look. There's several reasons. You know, I have been writing about Israel. We've started a nonprofit to bless Israel and her neighbors. We've been traveling in and out. We've been taking tours of evangelicals into Israel.
Right. And you are an evangelical Christian with a name like Rosenberg. I always love that. People don't realize, like in New York, there's so many, you know, Jews for Jesus, so many Jews that believe that the Messiah has come. His name is Jesus, the Moshiach, Yeshua. But people around the country, it is not as, you know, typical,
yeah,
basically. And they say, well, I don't know, are you a Christian or a Jew? It's like, no, I'm a Jew and a Christian. So it's kind of interesting. But you...
It is. My father was raised in Brooklyn
as
an Orthodox Jew.
Right.
His family escaped out of Russia as Orthodox Jews.
Yeah.
And yet my father came to faith in Jesus as Messiah in 1973. He thought he was the first Jew since the Apostle Paul.
What?
Who believed this. He didn't know any others.
It turns out he was the fourth.
Right.
Right?
Well, now there's some 300,000 Jewish believers in Jesus worldwide. And anyway, so by faith, by interest in the politics, in the economy, in the people, but also prophecy says that God is going to be drawing all Jewish people back to the land of Israel. Ezekiel 39 says he's not going to leave any of us out in the nations as we get closer to the return of our Messiah. And we just felt it's time. Like the Holy Spirit was just saying it's time. And it's been challenging, but it's also been quite exciting.
I just always wonder if there's somebody listening to the program who's saying, like, I've never heard of that before, a Jew who believes in Jesus?
That's my favorite question to answer. People say, how is that possible? How can you be Jewish and believe in Jesus? And what's amazing, of course, is Jesus himself was Jewish.
What?
In Israel.
Well, really?
Well, but
I always thought he was Greek.
Greek Orthodox or Catholic. I mean, seriously.
Yeah.
I mean,
Mary is Italian. Mary's Italian. Everybody knows Mary's Italian. No, but isn't it funny because—
but people do think that.
Jesus was a Jew, a rabbi. Mary was a Jew. Matthew, Mark, John, Paul, Peter, they're Jews, 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 they're all Jews. It's the most Jewish religion in the history of the world.
Exactly. It's the completion of what we were waiting for, what all the prophets said.
Right.
Come. And what's interesting too, Eric, and we talked about as we come up on Hanukkah and Christmas, it's amazing to come back from Israel and hear. And when you were playing Dean Martin, I got a smile on my face.
Yeah, yeah.
Part of that's culture.
Yeah.
But we celebrate the birth of the Messiah.
Right.
Whereas in Israel, where it happened— Not so much. You
can't. Not so much.
You would be hard pressed to know that you were in.
They don't
a
celebrate
season.
The birth of Menachem Schneerson.
No.
The Rebbe.
The Rebbe.
Rebbe's coming back
because the Hebrew prophet Micah said the Messiah had to be born in Bethlehem,
right.
Not Brooklyn. There's a difference.
Oh,
it's two B towns.
Interesting.
But still.
So Brooklyn is not mentioned in the Old Testament.
It's not, and apparently
that's hard
not
to believe.
In the, you know, but you're the Greek scholar.
Yeah.
But according, you know, but not so much in no.
Well, okay.
So that's a great hidden secret, unfortunately, that most Jewish people, I mean, you know, in all sincerity and honesty, don't realize that Jesus came to fulfill all these prophecies, and this is a great time of season to both tell that, to be excited about it, and to honor it.
Well, as
I always
say, when I meet Jews who have accepted Jesus, they know way more about Jesus in the New Testament than most Gentile Christians. It's an incredible thing because you're tapping right into, you know, all the festivals, the Pentecost, all these things have meaning in the Old Testament Jewish world that, you know, to Christians, we don't know. We think, you know, Pentecost started on Azusa Street in 1906. We don't understand. but I want to talk to you about what's going on right now. We obviously have a new administration coming in. I believe Donald Trump won, and I think his running mate was Pence, was it?
Yes.
Yeah, Pence. Okay, so we got a Trump-Pence administration coming in, and what do you think this is going to mean for Israel?
Well, I would say that almost every Israeli, as many people in the world, and certainly here in Manhattan, were shocked. Like that more because New York Times and every other media outlet had told us, 90% chance Hillary is a done deal. It's not even an option.
Yeah, but they also told us.
Shocker.
But they also told us Obama was a good president.
Well,
you know what I'm saying? You got to factor that in.
That's right.
That they're insane.
No, but did you think about people all over the world, certainly Israel, for whom the next administration of the United States is hugely important.
Yeah.
Like Americans sometimes forget how closely this stuff is watched by countries that are either allies or enemies. Now, when you've got Israel being probably our most faithful ally and effective ally, it matters who wins. There was a lot of concern about Trump because people didn't know him.
Right.
Clinton was sort of somebody that he had seen around for 30 years.
Right.
So you had a sense. Most Israelis, the poll said, we believe that she was going to be tougher on us on peacemaking issues,
right.
But that at least we knew her. Trump, at this point, so there was a lot of concern. I would say now there is a cautious optimism about Trump. The latest poll shows that 83% of Israelis now regard Trump as pro-Israel.
What? 83%?
Well,
that's a little bit higher than 50.
It is, which
that's pretty good.
It is very good for him because several things have happened. First of all, Mike Pence is his vice president, as you noted.
Now I know Mike Pence, and he is he's a very devout Christian and a gentleman of gentlemen. He's an amazing man. So I'm thrilled that he's part of the administration, but he's a friend of Israel.
He absolutely is. My wife and I know Mike and Karen. We've known them for a long time. I'm sort of grading this newest administration, I have to say, on whether they've read my novels and like them. And I, you know, to his credit, the Vice President of the United States
his
wife are fans of the book. So
we've
been out to spend a weekend with them at the governor's mansion. When they came to Israel, they were meeting with Netanyahu and doing the sort of a trade delegation a year and a half ago, 2 years ago. And they asked us to come spend an evening with them and their kids. And so we've seen them. We know them. And you're absolutely right what you said. This guy is solid. And not just on Israel. The broader Middle East, Russia, China. And he's being a great asset, I think, to a leader in Trump who everybody is like – nobody's quite sure what you get.
Right.
You knew what you – did.
Yeah, no, that,
what you
that, that's
get
right.
Anyhow.
But the funny thing is, though, that I oh my gosh, you know, a number of people think or were saying that they think Trump is anti-Semitic or whatever, and I thought, are you insane? His daughter, who is the most precious person on the planet to him, converted to Judaism. Her husband is Jewish. His grandchildren are Jewish. I mean, and he's from New York.
I don't think we've ever had.
I mean,
that
every New Yorker
before.
Who's born in New York, like me, we're culturally Jewish, you know. Anyway, folks, talking to Joel Rosenberg, it's the Eric Metaxas Show, MetaxasTalk.com. We will be right back.
Hear those sleigh bells jingle jangle, what a beautiful sight. Jump in bed, cover up your head, 'cause Santa Claus comes tonight. Santa Claus comes tonight. Happy day.
Bushels of fun. Now the jingle hop has begun. Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell rock. Jingle bells chime and jingle
bells. Hey folks,
bells,
it's the Eric Metaxas Show. It must be Christmas because that's Jingle Bell Rock. I'm talking to Joel Rosenberg. Joel, welcome to the program.
Great to be with you. Great to be in Manhattan.
Yeah.
Back in American soil. It's fun.
Back in American soil. I know you, but you get to the States pretty often from Israel now,
right? I do.
Right?
I do. We still have obviously family, friends here. And, you know, the books that I sell, they are sold primarily in North America. A lot of the leaders I know are here. So I'm back.
Well, often. Yeah, you're a mega best-selling author. You've written tons of these extraordinary novels. We're talking today about reality, not about the world of your books. But the point is that your books are right out of they're right out of the newspapers. I mean, every book that you write is dealing with the Middle East as it is, with the terrorist threat, with the, all this stuff is real. So you know that world. So I wanted to talk to you about, you know, the reality of it right now. We have a new administration coming in. What are the, I mean, does Trump have a relationship with Netanyahu?
He does. Actually, they've been friends for a long time. In fact, several years ago, when Mr. Netanyahu was running for re-election in Israel, a comeback, having been out of office for a while, he got an endorsement from Donald Trump, who then cut a television ad in English, of course, but it was also subtitled in Hebrew, and that went wide in Israel. And so you have Trump being such a brand in Israel that a television ad by an American businessman,
that's bizarre,
actually helped Netanyahu win. So they go way back. You'll note that when Netanyahu was in New York for the UN meetings in September, Trump met with two leaders, Benjamin Netanyahu, Prime Minister of Israel, and President el-Sisi of Egypt. Clinton did as well. But what it showed you was, of all the leaders you could meet with during the UN meetings, meeting with your best ally, Israel, and one of your more important Sunni Arab allies, Egypt, was important to Trump. And I think that was significant.
Well, Trump, you know, as we were saying, the idea that he could be anti-Semitic or something, I find it fascinating, and it begins to it just makes me question how people think and process things. I thought if you're paying any attention, it would be very hard to come away with that idea. But some people, some journalists that I even spoke with, seem to want to push that idea.
Well, here's
it's
an example
bizarre.
Of something that was very odd. So now I don't know Steve Bannon. I've not met him.
Yeah.
But as of course, the first week, 10 days after the election, it was all Steve Bannon all the time.
Yeah.
The Anti-Defamation League put out a bruising, blistering statement against him and then had to come out with a statement several days later saying, actually, there is no evidence that Mr. Bannon is anti-Semitic.
Do you know what the evidence was?
Well,
it's so pathetic. But this is the thing, is that we're living in a time right now where if you sneeze funny, people say you're a racist. You're an anti. I mean, it's incredible. The evidence was he had been through a bitter divorce. I mean, I finally figured this out. You know this, right?
Right. And his wife said something, you know, in the testimony. Now, you know, how do you weigh that? Here's a I'm not saying it didn't happen.
Well, first
but
of all, how you
saying,
weigh it how, is it's the evidence of it in a divorce trial for an angry wife,
right,
obviously.
Right. You'd have to see
that he made a certain crack.
Right. You'd have to – and whether it's true or not, right, we don't
but,
know.
But
that.
I'm saying it wasn't even – in my mind, it wasn't even an anti-Semitic crack. It was like a kind of the stupid thing that people say. But to label that actual anti-Semitism, I thought, wow,
well, there's
that's
a crazy.
There's
a proverb in the scriptures, right, that a curse without cause does not unlight. Meaning it won't
does
settle.
Not what?
It does not unlight. It does not settle on a person. In other words, if somebody
alight.
Alight. Yeah, I know yeah. That's a strange.
It does not alight. It does not land.
Not land and settle like a yeah. Like a moth on you or something.
Yeah.
So I know that's. I don't know how else to translate that word.
Like a bird. Like a bird
exactly.
Lighting on a branch.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you would have to see a pat to for ADL to brand someone as an anti-Semite or anybody.
Yeah.
To brand someone, you'd have to see a pattern of activity
yeah.
That said, oh, there's no question, that's it. And I remember when they first made the statement, I immediately went to say, okay, they always back it up with a big fact sheet. No fact sheet.
Yeah.
That's, you know.
We're living in tough times. This is nasty
this
stuff. Because
this is
once you say that.
Assassination by innuendo.
It's evil because you can never really. I mean, just the fact that we're talking about it right now, these things never. You can't put the toothpaste back in the tube. When somebody says something like that, wow, it's
yeah.
A big thing. And I guess I think that we are living in a time where there has been and there will be more pushback on this stuff because I think people are fed up. People are saying, do you know what racism is? Do you know
right.
What anti-Semitism is?
Right.
For you to use that term,
I agree.
Better...
But let me take the other side for – not the whole other side, but to make a different point.
Go ahead.
President-elect has a responsibility to be consistent in denouncing all hate crimes and hate language because
right.
There's a lot of people who are endorsing him,
right.
Supporting him that are – crazy,
oh,
they're
of course.
Horrible,
that's
they're
right.
Lunatics.
That's right.
And whether it's against Muslims, against Jews, against Mexicans,
yeah.
You know, he's got to make sure he gets ahead of that
right.
And he's clearly against it or people will identify with him with it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
even
it's,
if it's not his fault.
Right. Right. It's tough stuff. This is tough stuff. We're going to be right back talking to Joel Rosenberg. We're talking about Israel. Stick around. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. Please go to our website, MetaxasTalk.com. Give to CSI to help. Christians in Iraq and Syria. That's at MetaxasTalk.com. Click on the banner. We're grateful to you.
To sleep tonight. They know.
It's all cold down along the beach. The wind's whipping down the boardwalk. Know what time of year it is? What time? What? Oh, Christmas time. You guys all been good and practicing real hard. Yeah. Clients, you've been rehearsing real hard now. So Santa, bring you a new saxophone, right? Everybody out there been good or what? Oh, that's not many. You guys in trouble out here. Yeah, you better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town.
Hey there, folks. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. Evidently, Santa Claus is coming to town. I hadn't realized until the boss told me. And by the way, I didn't know he was black. Did you know that, Joel Rosenberg?
I didn't, but it's just one of my ethnocentric blindnesses.
Yeah,
about,
it's extraordinary
that
he's black. Well, no, not Santa. I'm talking about the boss. If you listen to the way he talks on that, he's putting it on real thick. But listen, we're talking about Israel. We're talking about the United States of America. I did want to talk to you about General Mad Dog Mattis. You brought it up in the break. Tell us, what does that tell you about the new administration's posture toward Israel?
Yeah, I'm encouraged overall by the cabinet that he's assembling so far. And I think General Mattis is going to be a fabulous choice as Secretary of Defense. getting back to Mattis in a moment, let me say I'm a little concerned about the optics of so many generals coming on board.
And tell me why.
Well, I just think that we believe in civilian control generally of the American government. You certainly want generals who know what they're doing. But you've got a general at the National Security Advisor post. You've got a general now who needs a waiver to become the Secretary of Defense. You've got a general at Homeland Security.
Okay.
And now maybe General Petraeus at State? I mean, we don't know yet. I mean,
I was running yesterday, as I do in Central Park, thinking about this. I thought, why do we have a rule that a civilian has to lead the
Pentagon?
The Pentagon. Why?
Yeah.
And before I answer it, why do we? You know.
Well, we believe that the military must respond to the civilian, you know, people's control over them, that the military doesn't run us. We're not a junta. We're not a, you know, an authoritarian government. Now, Trump famously said he knows more than the generals. I don't think anybody believes that, but he said a lot of stuff.
No?
Okay. But he is bringing in you want someone without who doesn't have national security and foreign policy experience to bring in solid guys. General Mattis is, you know, he's not the mad dog. He's top dog. I mean, this guy, well, here's a line from him, which is telling. Be polite, be professional, but have a plan to kill everybody you meet. Now, when you're the head of the Marines, that's the guy you want, right?
Wow.
He was the head of CENTCOM, our entire military posture in the Middle East.
Yeah.
He was the head of our forces for NATO.
Yeah.
This is a 4-star general. I mean, if you want someone next to Donald Trump saying, this is how it works, this and giving wise counsel, this is the guy you want, right? So I do want to see people who have an enormous amount of national security experience around a novice. Okay, I'm not saying Donald Trump can't lead the country, and clearly he's going to.
Sure,
but you need people who are good advisors. I think that the Mattis choice is telling us one particular thing, and that is Iran and ISIS, i.e., in total radical Islam, is not just campaign rhetoric. This is an issue that Trump cares a lot about.
Right.
The other is Asia, China. Obviously, China's the big Asia story, and his conversation with the Taiwan leader, the fact that the first person he met with in person, a world leader, was the Japanese prime minister.
Right.
What that's telling us is Asia/China and radical Islam are his top priorities. Now, there's one missing in my view that's a concern. He has an oddly soft approach towards Russia.
Correct.
Towards Vladimir Putin.
Yeah.
I'm concerned that Putin has got 55,000 troops on the border of the Baltic states, Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania,
and Ukraine.
That
he would march into those states? I mean, that would be...
I absolutely do. And in fact, would he? Well, he invaded Georgia under George W. Bush's administration. He invaded Crimea under President Obama.
Crimea is different, right? In other words, you can quibble over Crimea.
You can quibble, but the man invaded.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, he took eastern Ukraine. He took Crimea. He's got part of Georgia. And he's got territorial designs as a rising czar. Here's my point.
Say rising star.
Czar.
Czar.
Yeah. My
C-Z-A-R. No, I just want to be clear that people are listening to like rising star.
Good point.
No. Rising czar.
Czar.
Or czar.
As my family escaped from the last czar in 1906 because he was killing Jews and trying to gobble up all kinds of territory. That's what czars do. They're imperialist. The point is the glory of Mother Russia.
Now, he's an unapologetic imperialist.
Here's the danger. As of January, there were 150 troops, U.S. troops, in each of the Baltic states. 150. Now, over the summer—
Not 150,000.
No, we're talking 150. Over the summer, they've bolstered that.
Yeah.
And by next year, they'll have some more, not just American, but generally NATO, broadly speaking. But here's the problem. If you want to deal with China, which we need to— and you want to deal with radical Islam, which we absolutely need to, you've got to make sure you pre-position forces and tanks in Poland and in the Baltic states so you don't have to deal with that for now. Raise the price of possible Putin aggression. Am I saying he's absolutely going in? No. But you've got to create a breaker, a speed bump, more than a couple thousand troops. If the other side has 55,000, this is my point. I don't believe that Donald Trump wants a confrontation with Russia. Mm-hmm. But to avoid one and cover the topics, American rebuilding, manufacturing jobs, all these other issues, you've got to make sure Putin doesn't see an open door that he can seize when you're getting soft language from Trump on
because
on
it's much tougher to push him out once he's
we're
in.
Talking about – well, if he invades – the Baltics, that's a those are NATO countries. It triggers Article 5.
That's war.
Nuclear war.
Not
we've got
that
tough years ahead
with that. Yeah. Nuclear war. Well, then, but doesn't Putin realize that? Well, when we come back, I want to talk to you about this, and hopefully we'll get a second hour with you because there's so much here. All right, folks, talking to Joel Rosenberg. You can go to joelrosenberg.com and find out everything you want to know about Joel Rosenberg. And you can go to MetaxasTalk.com and give to Christian Solidarity International. I'm going to continue to bug you until you pull the trigger. So please pull the trigger. And if you've pulled the trigger, thank you. Actually saw Chuck Berry in concert.
Did you really?
Yes, I did. I saw Chuck Berry in concert. Folks, I'm talking to Joel Rosenberg. Chuck Berry in concert. This must have been, it was the mid-80s.
Wow.
It was in Boston Opera House.
That's pretty cool.
The Boston Opera House for a while. And they would bring in different acts and stuff. So Chuck Berry, I saw Chuck Berry doing the duck walk on the stage. And everybody went up on the stage. Like, the stage was crowded by the time it was over. It was just like madness. I don't know if there was no security or something. But, everybody wanted to touch Chuck Berry. Well, we're talking about Israel. We were just talking about – what were we talking about? There was like about three things.
Well, General Mattis and as I think a solid national security pick, defense secretary.
Well, we were talking about Putin.
And the challenges – the foreign policy and national security challenges that a new president, Donald Trump, who doesn't have national security and foreign policy experience, what is he facing? I believe his top priorities are Asia and specifically China and radical Islam. Iran and the Islamic State. And I'm saying that those are good priorities when you're also dealing with American national security and obviously all the domestic issues, including immigration, as a national security issue. But to make sure you can stay focused on all those priorities, you've got to bolster NATO. You've got to insist that every NATO country has to spend what they've already promised to spend, which is 2% of their gross domestic product on military spending. Do you realize only 5 of 28 NATO countries do that?
Yeah, but isn't this the whole point that Trump has been making for a year and a half?
It is.
And this is why he makes these kind of threats. He's just, people say, is he going to pull out of NATO? He's playing head games on purpose. He's saying, you folks need to pony up. The United States is not going to carry you anymore. You want to be protected? Help. We need you to help. So that's legitimate. But don't you think the people around Trump are already telling him what you just said? I mean, I would just assume that the people around him see this.
Yeah. Well, I think the media freaked out when Trump laid down the, hey, NATO, what's the point if you're not going to spend what you promised to spend? People see that as a novice statement.
Right.
It could be.
Yeah.
The other side is he's laying down a marker that the rest of the team is going to help him fill in the actual policy. That's my hope.
Yeah.
But it's true. I mean, you that's the same thing with the Taiwan argument. Are you want to get China's attention? This was a good way.
Right.
Let me give you a specific example. For the last 8 years under Obama, every day we wake up saying, what are the Iranians going to do?
Right.
What are the Russians going to do? What are the Chinese going to do? What are the North Koreans going to do? It's time for somebody to say, what are the Americans going to do? Right. We got to change the dynamics so that our enemies have paused.
That's what Trump is a genius at. I mean, I have to say, I've noticed this in him, is that the media don't know how to interpret what they don't speak his language. But I think your average American speaks his language, which is how he got elected. That when he says stuff, you kind of know what he's doing.
Well, I think we're having to learn to interpret. We've never had a Twitter president.
Yeah.
So he can lay down a marker and say, hey, China, you know, who asked you for permission to, you know, start threatening our neighbors and our allies? On the other hand, Trump will then threaten or criticize or attack a regular American citizen that has criticized.
That's another
story.
You've
got to find a balance here.
We're out of time. We're out of time in this hour. Joel Rosenberg, thank you so much. We got
to
have you back for the second hour immediately because this is too good. Continue conversation. Folks, thanks for listening. Go to MetaxasTalk.com. Give to Christian Solidarity International. Please, folks, do what you can. Doesn't matter what you can do, but do what you can. God bless you.